I picked up on something I heard Brother Mark Hankins, who I love. I use a lot of his material. He had a little thing that he did. I can't remember if it was a radio spot or what it was, but he entitled it, "Don't Let the Devil Bluff You Out." I took hold of that last week and combined it with where we've been talking about leaving the past behind, moving in to the newness of God. And if you haven't been with us, you'll just have to get the audios. We're making them available. I believe they're already on the website. A lot of them are not titled yet. We're working on that. But you can get the information over the last couple of months that I'm talking about. At any rate, a number of testimonies and real breakthroughs, real healings of heart and direction have taken place. And we're so excited about that for sure. But now here we are. We have a whole new future in God open to us. Where do we start? And of course, one of the things that I wanted to show was, here's where we start. We need to go back full circle where we started on this whole theme of faith and look at 2 Timothy 1:7. How many are glad today and have been living over the last couple of weeks in this truth that God has not given us? Come on, help me out, people. God has not, can you quote it with me? God has not given me a spirit of fear, but of, shout it out, but of, and a sound mind. One more time. God has not given me a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and a sound mind. Now, here's the thing. Last week, we shared a scripture with you, and I'll have you turn there real quick. Just to recap, catch us to where we're at. I have a few very simple truths that I want to add to that this morning, just to encourage you in the Lord. Last week, we looked at Ephesians chapter 1, verse 17, where Paul, by the Holy Spirit, is saying, "I pray for you constantly, asking God, the glorious Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, to give you wisdom to see clearly and to really understand who Christ is and all that he has done for you." That's the Living Bible. Yours may read just a little bit different. I want to read that to you one more time. "I pray for you constantly, asking God, the glorious Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, to give you wisdom to see clearly and really understand who Christ is and all that he has done for you." Last week, we used the example of poker. Can you imagine that? In church, we used an example of poker. And talked about the fact that these guys will sit at a table. I think I mentioned this last week, Channel 686, where I watch the D-backs. Every once in a while, before or after the game, there'll be these big high-stakes poker games in Las Vegas, Texas Hold'em and all the other stuff. And you'll see these guys sitting around. They look like a bunch of thugs most of the time. Stacks representing millions all over the table. And it's all about super subtle communication, or the attempt to have the lack of communication in bluffing one another out of literally potentially millions. And what we brought out last week was this: don't let the devil, in your journey of letting the past go, of embracing a new future in Jesus Christ. Are you here this morning? The confession that I do have a sound mind. Remember, we looked at the specifics of the Greek, and one of the ones that stood out by the Spirit of God is a mind that is salvaged. Aren't you glad for that? Aren't you glad for a mind that is renewed? Aren't you glad that in Jesus we can have innocence restored? That means a lot to a lot of people. Got to sit with a few people and hear that message. Aren't you glad for Jesus that when he does a work in us, he makes everything new? And one of the things that I felt, we were moving along, and we'll get there. I'm not worried about that, but I really felt like the Lord wanted me to hit the Jake brake. I've said this the last several weeks, and really simplify, slow down and simplify some things. Last week, I started into, and we're going to go back there, just a little bit out of this little book, In Him. Changed my life at 17 and continues to do so. And I want to share where we picked up last week. We ran out of time. But I was amazed. I got a text from one of the young guys that's here, fairly new, serving in the church. He had this little book where I had started reading last week. He'd continued to read, and for him, the idea that he could confess the Word of God, he said, and below it, and big, with big exclamation points, he says, awesome, incredible. He'd never heard that. We assume that everybody knows what that is all about. So back to this whole idea of poker. Don't let the devil, here's where we're at last week, bluff you out of your winning hand. How many know that in Jesus we hold? I mean, the devil will come against you. He will try everything he can. But how many know that we in him hold the winning hand? Ryan was right. You're a lively bunch this morning, but I'm going to keep working until you're shouting. All righty. How many know we hold the winning hand in Jesus? This is what Ephesians 1:17 declares. Now, here's another verse of scripture that I want you to look at. Philemon 1:6. This is one you hear me quote all the time. I really felt like we needed to go back and get these simple, simple verses. Now, I'm going to read this to you out of a number of different translations. I had a set of notes ready to go for today. I doubt we'll get there today. I'm not worried about it. It asking us now, what are we looking at as we're moving forward in God, letting go of the past, moving forward? What are we looking at? What are we focusing on? So we may get to that next week, but right now I just want to bring this verse, Philemon 1:6. If you'll turn in your Bibles, I know you've got a lot of different translations, but I want to read a few different translations to you and really bring this out. Here is the point of all this. If I now am new. How many are glad for 2 Corinthians 5:17? I quote it almost every service. I revel in the miracle of the fact that because I put my faith in him, he made me a new creature. 2 Corinthians 5:17 declares, therefore, if any man or woman is in Christ, they're a new creature. Are you glad for that? Old things have passed away. All things have become new. How many are glad for new things on the inside of you? Praise the Lord. All right. So, We have that. Many of you, I know, as the Spirit of God brought into this place, the need to leave the past behind. Philippians chapter 3, Paul said, this one thing I do, I forget what is. You can't do a thing about the past. It's over. It's done. All you can do is trust in God's great grace, his forgiveness, his restoration, his ability to do all things well, and faith like a child reaching forward into the future. Paul said, I can't do a thing about me standing there holding the cloak under my command of those who killed Stephen. I can't do a thing about it. I can't change it. He's in glory. It's already done. I'm a murderer. If not for Jesus, that would be the end of the story. But Paul said, this one thing I've learned, I've got to let the past go. Don't let the past dictate to you what your future is another day. Believers need to get a hold of that. Are you here today? Don't ever let the past dictate your future. Now, we've hammered that down. I think we've got the flaps nailed down on that very, very well. Can you say amen? How many are letting that revelation continue on the inside of you? But here's the thing. I'm not going to take the time this morning, but Jesus speaks of a house. And he describes his house that it had an evil spirit. You remember the story? And there's a cleaning that, I'm going to really heavily paraphrase this for time's sake. There's a cleaning that takes place. And this evil spirit is cast out of the house. Now, there's a lot of analogies and a lot of illustrations that we can draw from this. But this morning, very real and very applicable to what Jesus was saying. How many are glad for the day that Jesus came in and set you free? How many are glad that we're still free? How many are glad that the Word of God still sets us daily? The more revelation we get, the more understanding, there's greater freedom, higher levels, greater depths in Jesus. Every day, a new day in Him. Here's the thing, though. As we let go and let God, it's important that we begin to fill ourselves with new knowledge about who we are in Christ. We're going to look at that here in just a minute. Jesus says there's a house, an evil spirit is cast out. That evil spirit goes into dry places. They come back and they find this house swept, cleaned. But because this place had not been protected, it was not properly furnished. It's interesting how that the apostles use time and time again talking about the knowledge and application of the gospel causing us to be fully furnished unto good works. Fully furnished. It's a really interesting term. They come back and they find this house swept and clean, but it's empty. And brings with them seven more. And it says the latter state of that man is worse than the original. Now, we read all kinds of things into that. We talk about people losing their salvation. I don't believe that's saying that at all. We put all kinds of religious stuff. But I will tell you this. I know some believers that it would seem they're more miserable now. They will tell you this. How many know that's not true? Because God doesn't look just at this life. He looks at us in the light of eternity. How many know it's a whole lot better to be born again and confused than not born again at all? But there are people that are born again and their life is a bigger wreck in their mind and what they're experiencing, living out, a bigger wreck than before they knew the Lord. Why? Because they got set free, they got cleaned up, but there wasn't anything to replace that clean spot. You look at Romans chapter 12, you hear me quote it all the time, Romans chapter 12 verses 1 and 2, where Paul is saying, I've just opened up the miracle of what the gospel is all about. It's this, and you hear me quote this all the time, 2 Corinthians 5:17, which says the death reigned by one. But for those who receive the abundance, you ought to be able to quote this with me by now. For those who receive the abundance of grace and the gift of righteousness, these reign in life by one, Jesus Christ. How many are glad that everything has changed? And Paul is saying, listen, this all happens by grace. Aren't you glad that the application of the gospel and the truth of the gospel by grace transforms us from day to day? Romans 12, 1 and 2. I'm going to go back there. Paul says, listen, I've just fully explained this. I mean, the Romans, when you read the book of Romans, and you begin to examine what it is really saying, it's mind-blowing. He gets to Romans 12, and he says, now because of all these great truths, he says, I beg of you, therefore, brothers, I beseech you, it says in the King James, that you now, and what he's more than intimating there is, you ought to have the confidence now to be able to present yourselves, your body. Your body isn't just this. It's all of you that exist here in the flesh. Present your bodies a living sacrifice. Aren't you glad it's not a dead one? You've heard me say that over and over again. Aren't you glad it's not a dead sacrifice? It's a living, alive unto God, a living sacrifice. And he says, you can do this confidently before God because of his mercy. How many are glad for the mercy of God this morning? Because of his mercy, you now, and because of everything he said, the great grace of God, you now can present your body a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God. Because of what he's done, this is your reasonable service. And he said, here's what takes place. He says, be not conformed, shaped by this world. Don't let yourself, don't let the pressure of this world dictate to you the shape you're going to take. But rather, be transformed by the renewing of your minds. Now, if you were here last week and the week before, we talked about the importance, the tie together of the anointing. We looked at 1 John chapter 2, verse 20. If you were not with us, you can write these down on the edge of your Bible. We looked at 1 John chapter 2, verse 20 and 1 John chapter 2, verse 27, which both say the Spirit of God speaking through John tells us, he makes a declaration over the new you. And most of us as believers don't live as if this were true. But here's what the Word of God says over you. It says that you have an anointing. You look at that in the original Greek, it literally is referencing the Old Testament theme of anointing oil being smudged on the priest when he was being separated as a priest unto God, representing God before the people. Of course, we now know Peter, along with others, declare to us that we now, because of our faith in Jesus, are a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people. Aren't you glad for that today? This is what, and so he says, you have an anointing. It's no longer a smudge on types and shadows, but now because of your faith in Jesus, the anointing, the anointed one, has come to live on the inside of you. And he says, you have an anointing and you know all things. He's not saying that you mentally in your flesh know everything. I wish that were true. But how many know the Holy Ghost on the inside of me knows everything I need to know to move into the next day? He knows more than I do about the next few moments and tomorrow and this next year, if I'll trust Him. And that anointing of the Holy Ghost is now on the inside of me. And John says, by the Spirit of God, it's an audacious comment. He says, you know all things. Now, in the context of what we're saying, that's amazing. You know all things. That's amazing. Now, I want you to notice the tie between the anointing of God and the knowledge of some things. Romans 12 says that supernatural spiritual transformation happens through the renewing of our mind. This should tell us something. The supernatural work of God in making us a new creature already changed everything on the inside. As you study the Word of God, religion has had it backwards for way too long. Many of us are still, as we talked last week about Fred and the golfer, I can't tell it again, the joke, but we're still dragging the old man around, letting the old man dictate our current movements. We need to turn loose and realize there's a brand new man, and like a baby, step into the newness of life. We see that theme throughout the epistles. Paul in Ephesians saying, put off the former man, put on the new man. We have Paul in Colossians, kill the old man, put on the new man. He's saying because of grace, now in this freedom and newness of life where we can stand before God without a hitch, knowing there is therefore now no fear of punishment anymore from God. That's Romans chapter 8. There is therefore now no condemnation means fear of punishment. No more from Him. Things are absolutely clear and wide open. Aren't you glad for that today? Amen. Three of you are glad for that. I mean, aren't you glad for that today? Brand new. So there's a connection here. Now, I know a lot of this is very elementary for some of you. Be careful, though. Because it's right here where the devil will take people who have known this stuff for years and begin to erode our confidence in God. And also recognize that there are those around you that have had a real miracle in their life. They were able, 2 weeks ago, to take a pocket memory that had been destroying them, release it, turn it loose. We've had the time, and step through a door. Now, right now is the time they need to know your house is clean. Everything is open. There's a whole new life in Jesus. But we need to begin to let this house be furnished with the knowledge of God. Because that which was cast out will go and seek more and try to come back and invade your life. How many will stand together in Jesus' name and say, no, you don't. Not here. I'm stepping into my future in God. Amen. You doing all right? Knowledge of the Word of God. So here's the deal. God already took care of the inside. But God is saying there's something very supernatural. When you begin to tie, when you begin to let your flesh, your brain, connect with who you are through the Word of God, the miracle on the inside of you begins to express itself, begins to cause you to walk in very tangible, real ways in this life, not just in the life to come. In this life, begin to walk in a renewed victory and a renewed knowledge of God. It changes everything. How many can lift up your hands this morning and thank God for who He is? and what he's done in our lives. Amen? So, now, when we look at, in the light of everything we just said, this is so simple I have to labor to make sure that it's not lost. And in its simplicity, it's very easy to lose sight of this truth. How many know the real gospel is supposed to be very simple? Not complicated. If it was complicated, it wouldn't be fair. It wouldn't be for whosoever. Glad for Jesus today. Now I want you to look at this verse. Now, Philemon 1:6, we'll read it first, the way you hear me quote it often. Philemon, little old book, way in the back of your Bible. You can find 1 and 2 Timothy. You can find Titus, and after that you'll see the little book of Philemon. Philemon 1:6, there's a number of beautiful little nuggets in this tiny little book, and this is one of them. Starting in verse 5, hearing of thy faith, of thy love and faith, which thou hast toward the Lord Jesus Christ, towards all saints. Paul writing to Philemon, but he's writing to you and I by the Spirit of God. How many this morning have faith? I don't believe you'd be here. Have faith in Jesus. And whether you think you do or not, if you've confessed Jesus as your Lord and Savior, you have all the faith that you will ever need already in you. You just need to find out and put it to work. This is what the Bible declares to us. He says, hearing of thy faith and love which thou hast toward the Lord Jesus and toward all saints, that the communication, now here's the King James, that the communication of thy faith may become effectual. Think of this, that the communication of thy faith, the communication of your faith may become effectual by the acknowledging of every good thing. Now we know we've quoted this and flown over top of it. Everything, I want us to slow down because there's some in here that you need to get a hold of this and begin to put it to work. There's an acknowledging of every good thing which is in you in Christ Jesus. That's the King James. Now I'm going to read a few other translations. Fenton's translation says this. Listen close. It opens it up a little bit more. So that your advance... Woo! How many know God's called you to advance? It's from glory to glory, higher and higher in Him. That your advance in the faith may become energetic by the recognition of every benefit there is for you in Christ Jesus. Benton's translation, powerful. Here is another translation. I can't even pronounce it. Laubaugh. It says, I pray that everyone that meets you catch your faith. Is your faith all about you? Or is your advance in the kingdom the realization that we shine as lights in a world of darkness? So we're advancing. Can you say, I'm advancing? And I want my faith to be contagious. Jesus said, we are the light and the salt of the world. Salt has many beautiful properties. It's a preserver, a healer, a cleanser. Many things. It's also an irritant. If you're not at least irritating somebody with the light, you need to get born again. Live it. Let God take care of the rest. I pray that everyone that meets you may catch your faith and learn from you how wonderful it is to live in Christ. Here's a basic English translation. It says that the faith which you have may be working with power in the knowledge of every good thing in you in Christ. Here's the Amplified Bible. How many got Amplified Bibles in the house? Have one with you, so you'll be able to read it with me then. Here's the Amplified. Sometimes the Amplified can be so wordy it drives me crazy. But every once in a while, buddy, it's dead on. Actually, it's dead on a lot. You know, it's just, it gets so wordy. It tries to cover every possible, you know, variation of the original intent. Beautiful stuff. Here's what it says. Full recognition. This is Philemon 1:6, Amplified Bible. Full recognition and appreciation and understanding and precise knowledge of every good thing. Let me back up. Yeah. Do you have your Amplified Bible there? Is it on the screen? And I pray that the participation in and sharing of your faith may produce and promote full recognition. There we go. Full recognition and appreciation and understanding and precise knowledge. Precise knowledge. It's important for us to know the Word of God, the specifics in reference to who we have become in Him. I love that. And precise knowledge of every good thing that is ours. And here's where the Amplified Bible really hits a home run. That is ours in our identification. Can you say identification? In our identification with Christ. Full, think of that, full recognition and appreciation and understanding and precise knowledge of every good thing that is ours in our identification with Christ Jesus. Precise knowledge. You know some specifics. Appreciate, recognize, understand. So strong it makes you energetic in your faith. Are you here today? As we look at every good thing, not just one, but every good thing. Every good thing. Do you know that your Bible that you're holding, depending on the translation, has anywhere from 130 to 160 passages where it says, in whom, in Him, by Him, right up through Him, thank you, over and over and over again, we see the Word of God. Listen, you've heard me in talking about faith. Romans 10:17 tells us that initially how faith came to us. It also gives us a picture of how faith continually flows in our lives. Romans 10:17, how many can quote it with me? Most of you should be able to. Says that faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Of course, we've heard teaching many times over about how that in the original there, that means a continual, constant hearing of the Word of God that causes faith to rise. Are you with me? So faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Here is the way the Lord spoke it to my heart many years ago, and I've shared it with many where I was at. And here's what I heard Him say. He said, faith comes by hearing. That is, complete childlike trust comes to us through the continual affirmation. Are you here today? Through the continual affirmation of precious promises given. Childlike trust. God, I believe that what you said is true. I cast myself entirely on what you have said. Childlike trust. That pinpointed me at a time when I needed to hear that in my life. Childlike trust comes through the continual affirmation of promises given. And here we see 130 to 160 times where the Holy Spirit is affirming God's love to us, His work in us, the completed work in Christ, our new identity, our identification with Christ and in Christ. Look at what it says. Full recognition and appreciation. How many appreciate Jesus today? You ever use those terms? How many appreciate the Word of God this morning? Are you sitting back waiting for me to trip up or say something you don't like and then talk about that on the way home? I'm not being defensive, I promise. I'm just saying, we're all so human. We do it without even realizing it. It's like our bent is to sit back and just watch. We've become very, very protective. And listen, that's a bad way to receive. Do you appreciate the Word of God? Do you appreciate the family of God? Do you appreciate the church that Jesus died for? Do you appreciate this great Word? Every little word, pregnant with power, dynamite power for you. Whoo! Good news. Do you appreciate it? Appreciation and understanding and precise knowledge of every good thing. There's a gazillion of them, but I can point you to at least 130 to 160, depending on your translation, where he tells you point blank who you are in Christ. And what he tells you who you are, and he tells you what you have. Not what you're trying to be, and not what you're trying to get, but it's an acknowledging when you put your faith in Jesus, something supernatural took place on the inside of you, and you'll never be able to get away from it. But somewhere we need to, those of us that have been walking in this faith thing for a long time, and some of you that only been in it for a few weeks, I want to help you understand that it is important that we let the Word of God begin to fill our house, begin to furnish our house. I'll put the piano over there, and we'll set the couch and the sitting over here, and we'll put this here. Let's fill this place up with beauty. Give somewhere for God to rest. Are you here today? Let it be fully furnished in our lives. So, fully appreciating, acknowledging every good thing that is ours. Every time you read a scripture with the phrase, in whom, through whom, by whom, it's speaking of something you have become, something that you've received already. The devil, who is the author of religion, I'm not talking about religion, i.e. James chapter 1 at the end where he talks about pure religion, he's making a separation, but religion in general was the invention of the devil. Every day that I find out more about Jesus, the more I hate religion and I see the damage that it has done. But a living relationship with God, how many glad for that today, changes everything. In Jesus. This is where we broke off last week, and I want to go back there here in just a moment. But I want to remind you before we do that, the Amplified uses the phrase in our identification with Christ Jesus, your identification, your identity, and I'm praying about this direction because I've really stopped and kind of taking a side trail away from our main theme, but you know what? I could care less. If this is where somebody needs to receive, then that's where we'll go. Then we can come back. But all of this makes it a reality to the hearer if we apply it. Your identification, your identity. You must know who you are. Because you're not the same person you used to be. This is most of the battle of the believer. Even those that have been in this and know better and have heard it and shouted and lived victory for a while, eventually the enemy will always bring you back and try to force the past. Fill your house up with new stuff and move forward. Can you say amen? Amen. You're a whole new person. Mark Hankin said this, and I laughed out loud when I heard him say it. He said, you're such a different person. You'll have to allow God to introduce you to your new self. You're such a different person. You'll have to allow God to introduce you to your new self. Everything that we receive in God. Turn with me one more. I think we looked at this a couple of weeks ago, but let's just turn it real quick to 1 Peter. Then I'm going to crack that little book open again and go back to a truth that we didn't have time to finish last week. 1 Peter. If you found 1 Peter, find 2 Peter chapter 1. 2 Peter chapter 1. Verse 3. I'm reading out of the King James. According as his divine power. And we're going to hear this same theme again. You hear it throughout Scripture. Watch this. Listen close. According as his divine power. So this isn't just anybody's power. This is the power of God. This is that same power that is referenced in Ephesians 1 when it says that it took exceeding great power to raise Christ from the dead. Why? Because all of us were there with him. Exceeding great power. You don't hear that phrase in any other example. Not even when he was creating the world. It did not reference exceeding great power. When he was calling planets into being and stars and the sun and the moon and things were happening. And it's amazing. In fact, I won't do that yet. We'll back up. We're going to do another creation thing and I'm excited about it. I'll announce that later. At any rate, when all this was going on, not once is exceeding great power referenced. In Ephesians 1, in reference to the resurrection of Jesus and its impact in your and my life, those who have believed, it says that it took God's exceeding great power to raise him from the dead. This isn't just a little thing that we're talking about in you. If you can get a hold of this, this is life-changing. In every sense of the word. According, now back to 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 3. According as his divine power hath given unto us. I want you to notice right here what the Spirit of God is declaring to you. I mean up front, close and center. We talked about what that was when we looked at Philippians 4, 6. The way to move from fear to faith. You remember all that? And we looked at what prayer really was. Up front and close. I want you to see what the Spirit of God is saying to you. Up front and close. According as his divine power hath given unto us a few things. Most of what we need, the rest is up to you. Has given unto us all things, look at it, that pertain unto, that have to do with life and godliness. We've heard it preached. I want to stop preaching. And I want right now for this word to settle on the inside of you. Come on, brother, let's move on to something new. Tell us about the gifts. We want to get wild-eyed and get crazy. Bring back the 50s. No, stop. This is what the Spirit of God is saying to you. Everything that pertains to life and godliness has already been given to you. Say, where it's at? That's why we need God to introduce us to our new selves. It's the Cinderella story all over again. Dirty, smudged, matted hair, living in poverty. But the shoe fit her. For we were predestinated, called, justified, glorified. This is all Romans 8. He already loved us before we, when we were dead in trespasses and sins. You read your Bible. That offends some people's religion. But the Bible says that when in Ephesians chapter 2, that when we were dead in trespasses and sins, we together dead, he raised us up together. That's why it took exceeding great power. I'm very glad for the exceeding great power of God. I'm just quoting your Bible. Let it say what it was. This is your Bible. Look at it. According as his divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness through the gifts of the Spirit being operated through a really big name evangelist who goes all over the world. I'm here glad for big name evangelists who go all over the world. I'm here glad for little name evangelists who go all over the world. I'm here glad for what we're seeing. I'm not knocking that, but what I'm saying, I'm talking about you sitting and waiting on somebody to pull a lever or do the right scratch off. You've tried everything. You're at your wit's end. You don't know why God's grace has not come. I mean, you know, you believe he loves you, but it's just like, you know, I'm just hoping. I've done everything. I'm paying my tithes. I'm attending church. I'm doing all the right things, everything. And it's just like, I'm just always just a day late and a dollar short. It's always a struggle. Remember the old country song, Too Much Month at the End of the Money? Through the knowledge of him. Bless you. That hath called us to glory. Called us to glory and virtue. Hallelujah. How many know that's supernatural power? That's the fulfillment in Jesus of Psalms that says that we're surrounded with his favor like a shield. We're glad for Jesus today. According as his divine power hath given unto us, look at it once again, all things. Everybody shout all.
All,
all things that pertain unto life and godliness through how? The knowledge of him who hath called us to glory and virtue, whereby are given unto us exceeding great. Come on, people. Are you seeing that? Exceeding great and precious. Have you been, as there's such a religious buzz in your ears that you can't hear that anymore. Exceeding great and precious promises. He's the glory and the lifter of our head. He is our healer. He lifts our mind. We learned about a salvaged and a revived, a renewed mind, a sound mind. How many are glad for a sound mind? In an age when everybody is crying depression and oppression, I'm thankful that believers can begin to hook into some simple truths and walk differently. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Absolutely. Whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these you might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. We're glad for Jesus. Amen. Praise the Lord. So Philemon is telling us that our faith is made effectual. It's energized. It's caused to advance. You ever looked at Ephesians 6 and examined the armor of God? Every piece of armor has to do with the renewal of your mind. Every one of them is knowledge of the Word. Every single piece. Notice that just like the Roman armor, there was nothing protecting your back. It's all about moving forward in God. If you're moving forward and trusting Him like a child, He's got your back. That's why you can't let the devil outbluff you when you have the winning hand. But you start believing the lies. Now, this is where I ended up last week. And I promise you, I got nobody in mind. I'm not thinking of anybody. I haven't seen this. So don't say, oh, he's talking about me, and leave here offended. But if you've got your hands in your pocket and you're hearing all this stuff And this is your attitude, in or out? Well, I hope so. Brother, don't you know the Word of God says that you're healed by the... I hope so. Don't you know the Word of God says that He provides all you? I hope so. Don't you? You haven't got it. No shame, no condemnation. Nobody's pointing a finger at you. But you've missed the point. Now, this is where I pulled out this little book, and it thrilled me to see more than one, but one in particular that actually sent a text with a picture of the next page. He says, unbelievable. I didn't know this was there. So I'm going to start reading again where we were at last week. This is a little book. I got a hold of this, newly baptized in the Holy Spirit from a fellow missionary in Him, by Kenneth E. Hagin. Now, before half of you get up and leave, do you know any man that is perfect? Do you know any one man that has the full revelation? Do you know any one ministry that has it all on a bag of chips? I'm thankful for the message of faith that transformed my wife's life before I ever met her. Our family on the mission field, as I began to get a hold of truths that changed my life. I shared last week, and I'm not going to take the time now because we're almost out of time, but it changed. For the first time in my life, I witnessed right there, up close and personal, miracles. As a whole new confidence in God began to take place. I went, Jack and I are both two-year graduates of Rhema Bible Training Center. We went there as little babies. Met there at 18 years of age, met before school started. Got married between the first and second year, graduated from Rhema. She was pregnant with our first. Shook hands with Brother Hagin as we went with 1,200 other students, second-year graduates of Rhema Bible Training Center. I'm here to tell you that the message of faith changed my life and continues to change my life. I'm also here to tell you that I had to unlearn a lot of things that I learned there as well. Every group has extremes. We got groups right now that are amassing large groups of people, and they've made a God out of balance. We're just the most balanced people. We're so balanced, we're dead. I like hitting the guardrails a little bit. Keep it exciting. Trust in God. Are you here today? I lost some of you. You don't like hitting the guardrails. Neither does my wife. But the point is, man, this safe living, it takes some guts to step out and trust God. You think you're going to second guess everything and be just a little ahead of God to keep you from ever stepping out in a risk of faith? That's boring and dead. I'm so glad for the times in our life when we have to just simply trust Him. Really, that should be all the time, but anyway, we're all learning, aren't we? Major key. I'd never seen this stuff before. This young man from last week had never seen it. Most of you in here have, but maybe we need to be reminded. And the beauty of it is that now, because of the message of grace, we don't have to turn this into a law. This now becomes the release of greater freedoms in Christ Jesus. And I'm speaking specifically of the need for men and women who are alive unto God and are now finding that your faith is energized, your faith is strengthened, your faith to believe God, not just for you, but that your faith is contagious. Mike Rose's faith was contagious when he told his wife, lay hands on Katie. Diagnosed with cancer, a bad diagnosis. This is full of fear. Scary stuff. My dad, they went everywhere. Tried everything. Pat Bates, for months. Stand up, Pat. We don't talk about it enough. I don't want to embarrass people. I don't want to be a showman. I don't want to try to hype it. But listen, there are some real miracles. Don't you sit down yet. Pat Bates, literally, he will tell you, I'm not exaggerating, for months, he couldn't drive his own Jeep to men's Bible study. Sally, is it true? They did everything they knew to do. And finally it was, we're going to have to go to the big boys or whatever it was. And Pat said, ironically, my dad was struggling. Pat said, I'm enough of this. I'm going to believe God like Tom Shaw. Now, this has nothing to do with Tom Shaw. But Pat had gotten a hold of something that was contagious. Yeah. And he beat my dad to the answer by a couple of years or a year and a half. My dad was still struggling. But Pat saw something. Listen, I'm not exaggerating. We're talking about how many months? 6 months. There were men's Bible study in here at 7 o'clock, men's Bible study. Pat would come in with a smile on his face, and this would be Pat. You think I'm kidding? He's smiling. How you doing? I'm doing fine. Is that true, Pat? Nobody could find what was going on. His life was over. He was fine as long as he was laying down. I'm going to believe God like Tom Shaw did. Contagious faith in advanced mode. We don't really know why, do we? Or how it came to an end, but for God. Is that true? Was there anything else? Any drug? Any therapy? Any extra, anything that I don't know? I don't want to stretch her at all. 6 months. He is the same. Yesterday, today, and forever. Thank you, Pat. The one thing that blessed me, Mike, newly baptized in the Holy Ghost. He may as well have said, oh, really? Cancer? No big deal. Honey, you lay hands on her and tell her this. That was a scary spot, wasn't it? Because you're like, Mike, you may not have said this, but I know probably what was going on. You better stinking well know what you're saying, because I'm getting ready to tell her something. And if this doesn't work, I'm going to look like a fool. We're going to all look like a fool. I'm going to make God look stupid. Have you ever had that go through your mind? This is human. Faith that is contagious. That advances. And Philemon 1:6 is saying the key to this is for us to gain precise knowledge. Everybody say precise. Some specifics about who you are, letting God through His Word. See, this is James chapter 1 that says that when we look into the mirror of God, where does it say that, Pastor Lee? Well, what do you mean? Have you read it lately? He says that a man that hears and does not do is like a man who looks in a mirror, observes himself, walks away, and forgets who he is. After they got through cleaning Cinderella up, and the glass slippers were on, and that beauty in the rough now is in full shine with the clothes of royalty. Are you here today? She looked in the mirror and said, wow, who is that? God wants to do that with you. Except it's not just about being pretty. It's about being somebody just like Cinderella. Move from here to new glories. You didn't know that men had a Cinderella dream, did you? Once again, here I am, right back where I was last week, out of time, and starting to read the little book again. You think that's a mistake? I don't believe so. I believe it's by design. I'm going to read it right over again. In Him, by Kenneth E. Hagin. 17 years old, filled with the Holy Spirit, a whole brand new life, things I'd never seen before. How does this work? Where do I get a hold of it? A spiritual law too few of us realize is our confessions rule us. That's where he starts, straight out of the chute. Our confessions rule us. When we use the word confession, people instinctively think of confessing sin, and the Bible says if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness, 1 John 1:9. But that is the negative side of the confession, and by the way, stands alone in the epistles. Every other instance of confession is about confessing who we are in Christ Jesus. That is one, look at it. It shocked me when I heard somebody say that. That is not true. That is, I preach that. There's got to be other, it's not there. The is confess your faults one to another that you may be healed under the new covenant. Are you here? I'm not saying that this doesn't have its place, and I don't have time to go into all of it and explain all that, but one place, it stands alone. Every other place of confession has to do with agreeing and letting it come out of my mouth with God about who is that person in that mirror. Amazing. I don't want to see any men in glass slippers. Romans 10:9-10. If thou shalt confess with thy mouth, I'll tell you what our glass slippers are. It's feet shod with the preparation of the gospel. Whew, brand new news. Thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shalt believe with thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead. Thou shalt be saved, for with the heart man believes unto righteousness. Do you remember when you got born again? Do you remember when everything changed? Here's how it happened. You had a heart belief, and out of that there was a volcanic eruption that happened as a result of a heart belief, and words tumbled off your lips unto salvation. We read it last week. We'll read it again. Proverbs chapter 6, verse 2. You are snared with the words of your mouth. And you are taken with the words of your mouth. What we say is our confession. Our confession and the words we say rule us. Jesus said in Mark 11:23, for verily I say unto you, that whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed and be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he saith shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he saith. He says, let's meditate on these words of Jesus a little more. Whosoever shall say and shall not doubt in his heart. Now, I realize that these truths have been taken way off the deep end and stretched way out of their bounds. Not him, but many have taken them to say many things that they don't. But we need to be careful that once again, I've reminded here many times over the last year, we don't throw the baby out. Let's not nominalize a life-changing truth that says when we acknowledge and let that confession, that declaration, that prophecy that is a bullseye every time begin to come out of our mouth. Let God introduce you to the new you through his word. And it happens as we begin to speak. Let God's word change our confession. We are the total today of our talking. Think about it. We're the total today of our talking yesterday. Aren't you glad that doesn't change his love? Aren't you glad that doesn't change his grace? Aren't you glad that doesn't change anything? But that should incite hope in you. Then that means that I can change what's in here and change what is here and change what is going on and gonna happen there. You heard me say it before, and I'm going to say it again. I still hear it, even our own church. Well, you know, it's one of those name it, claim it, blab it, and grab it. Be careful what you're cursing. You better be naming and claiming some things, precise things. Not Cadillacs and three-story mansions with elevators and all the other nonsense. That's their business. Forget about it. Forget about all that. You stick with the Word of God. You better be naming and claiming some things. You better be blabbing and grabbing. Take hold, he said. Lay hold of the eternal life that is on the inside of you, Paul said. How? He tells us again and again. Open your mouth and agree with God, boldly declaring. What is your confession of faith today? Is it I'm tired? I'm old? My better years are behind? I'm worried? This is the unseen and unheard often mantra of the hearts of men who claim faith. I want to challenge you and strengthen you and encourage you today. I'm not saying that we don't have pain. I'm not saying that we don't have struggle. That was some of the excesses of that message. But listen, in the middle of our battle, we can lift up our voice like a trumpet and begin to praise Him and worship Him and honor Him and declare His goodness and declare His truth. Confession, the Word of God. I don't have time to finish, so we're going to pick up exactly where I said we would pick up last week. I mean, we're in the exact spot. Do you think it might be important what you're hearing? I didn't design it this way. The same Greek word translated in Hebrews 4:14, as we close, where it says, seeing that we have a great high priest that has passed into the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession. The word there in the Greek is the same word that is translated confession, to confess. The same Greek word translated profession here is translated elsewhere as confession. Modern translations render it confession. Let us hold fast our confessions. Christians are told here, what is the confession we're to hold fast to? The confession that we are to maintain. It is the confession of our faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, the confession of our faith in God, our Heavenly Father, and the confession of our faith in the Word of God. My God shall supply all your needs according to His riches in glory by Christ Jesus. We are healed by His stripes. We are healed. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless His holy name. Forget not His benefits, which are these. He who has forgiven all your sin, all your iniquity. He who has healed all your... I mean, that's the Word of God. Pat sat on that verse, and it wasn't working for 6 months. And then one day, pow! My dad stood in a worship service a few weeks ago in an unknown church, never been there before, hands in the air. I heard him in the middle of the struggle. My dad was struggling with his mouth. He admitted it. Here's a guy that's seen great things. Stood in a service, began to declare as the anointing of God was in that building and the power of God began to flow down through his body. He hadn't been the same since. Hold fast your profession. Begin to say what the Word of God says. Philemon 1:6 says, here's the way you furnish your house. Here's the way, once it's been cleansed and clean and you're set free, begin to furnish your house with the confession of your mouth. Begin to say, by His stripes. That's a big chair right in the main living room. Over here, we have a table of bounty where He prepares for us a table of bounty in the presence of our enemies. Those who lack sleep have Psalms 23, which declares that He causes us, woo, to lie down in green pastures. He restores our souls. Aren't you glad for that? The declaration of rest. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me. I'm very glad for Jesus today. I got to quit. I don't know where to quit. I want to bring this home. Is this okay with you guys? So that from here out, next week and beyond, all of a sudden in the house and around the room, it starts to come out. I just don't know how we're going to... Wait a minute. I've got a promise. I'm going to right now do a bullseye prophecy and say, I do know what needs to be done. I can't see it yet, but God knows. He's in me. I know all things. He's got a provision. He's got a way. Are you here today? And begin to change our direction through what's coming out of our mouth. I'm going to show you in the Word of God the importance of that. Bring us back from the imbalance, a legal law that just got us in more trouble, but bring us back to God's designs, how you got saved, and it's how you live in victory. This is the victory, even our faith. we have believed. Do you remember this many months ago when we started? Paul said, we have believed, quoting David, we have believed, therefore we speak. I'm going to give y'all that are close to people in the congregation permission to gently correct. Wait, don't say that. Let me encourage you. Let's speak the word together. Don't point a finger and say, hey, I'm the Holy Spirit cop. I was sent to get you straight because I got it all together in a bag of chips. No, together with them. They don't say that. Let's say it together. Listen, there's power in the spoken word. I got to stop. Lift your hands together. Would you, as you stand together, come on all over the room. Jesus, we thank you that you are the Lord. Come on, are you here today? Say it out loud. Thank you that you are the Lord. Come on, shout it. You are the Lord of my profession. Come on, one more time. Thank you, Jesus. You are the Lord.